All right. Welcome back to Spoiler Country Special Edition. Of course, we are continuing our interviews with our synopsis on the amazing book that Johnny has been releasing or is releasing on Kickstarter called The Eins Anthology. I highly suggest going to Kickstarter.com and checking it out, or you can go to EinsAnthology.com and you can see all the stuff that's going on with this book. It's incredible.
Yeah. If you go to EinsAnthology.com/Kickstarter, it'll take you right to the Kickstarter page.
Yeah. But it's just right on the front page too as well, right? You can just click the link.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So today is going to be with the creators of the story Crossed Paths.
Yep. And this is an international story too, because the writer is from England and the artist is from Argentina.
Ooh, little global connection. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, this one's cool too. This one's one of my favorite stories in the book, because it's as you'll hear when we talk about it, it's just a conversation between two people at a bar, but it's so much more than that with what happens in the story. And just, I don't want to give anything away, but you buy the book and read it, you're gonna love the story.
There you go. Well, let's check this out. Let's hear the interview right now.
Well, we forgot something.
Oh.
There's a song that goes with this story.
Oh, that's right. I forget.
Right? Every story has a song. And the song for this story is from one of my old bands called Artists. And the song is called Burden. And if you've listened to the end of the episode, you'll hear the entire full song.
Cool. Here you guys go. Enjoy. The Crossed Paths. Written by Joseph S. Pell. Art by Sebastian Varela Baiano. Letters by Nikki Powers. September 1645. After the fall of Bristol in the English Civil War, Royalist Nathaniel Eins flees his way into a small pub called The Crossed Paths, where he meets a woman called Agnes.
So I'm here with Joe, who wrote an amazing story for my Eins book. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what your story is about?
My story is a little bit of an offbeat one. It's set quite towards the early parts of the 17th century, late parts of the 16th century, just after the English Civil War. And it features Nathaniel Eins, and he's escaping from Cromwell's horses, because round about that time he probably would have been executed for siding with Charles I. So he's escaping. And he ends up finding refuge in a tavern called the Crossed Paths, where he meets Agnes, the local bartender, and mysterious things happen from there. Do you want to go further into that, or should I just leave it?
That's perfect to not give any spoilers there. To say that she's not quite what she seems.
No, she's not, and neither is Nathaniel either.
Right, exactly. Which is great. I remember when you first sent me this script and I read it and I was like, and my first response was, holy shit, this kind of sets up the entire backstory in a quick 8 pages that I wanted to do. Like, you captured so much of what I wanted to try and like convey in the first book without giving everything away, you know, because their conversations, when people read it, their conversations going back and forth kind of helps set up this whole universe, this whole world that we're trying to build.
Mm, yes. One of the things which I wanted to try and do was take advantage of the whole idea of the fact that the Inez line are linked with monsters, but not always in the same way of the fact that wherever house they're going to, they always have to deal with the demons in there. Or when they're trying to go to a normal business, suddenly aliens come out and kidnap them or something. I wanted it to be a much more kind of like familial thing, or some a bit more of a kind of like, I know where I'm standing. Nathaniel's like, no, I know the family history. I know what's going to happen. And at the same time, and so he kind of is a little bit more kind of aware of what he's going into.
Yeah. What was cool about it is when I hired Casey, my editor, later down the road, you know, probably about a year after you gave me your script, His first reaction was, this has to go in book one. I was like, yes, I agree. The story has to be in book one, because it's, you know, book one is basically about, you know, world building, setting things up. And the story you wrote did a ton of that with their interaction, which is what I loved the most about it. And then, you know, just being able to tap into that with other stories too, is such a great way you did that.
Yes. I tried to leave it broad enough so the fact that other people could do stuff with it, but I also wanted to basically tie up Nathaniel's story in that story, hence the right. reason why he now knows what's going to happen to him and all that kind of stuff,
which was good, because I remember when I first started this whole project, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, my idea was each writer creates either you're not telling a full story, you're telling kind of an ending of a story, or like the middle of an end of a story here. Which is what I thought would be really cool, is to have a bunch of short stories in one giant world that tell pieces of stories that build up a bigger narrative.
Yeah.
Which is what you captured.
Yeah. And that's something which is always quite good, especially if you were writing for an anthologies kind of series. And when you told me to basically tell me the premise of it, I thought, well, maybe doing something along those lines, kind of have it as a figure who's quite not the typical kind of like horror movie kind of like character, really.
Right. No.
I think would be quite interesting to do. Not the typical horror movie character, not the typical horror movie setting kind of thing.
Well, and what's cool about the way that you approach this story and the way that the book is approached in general, from my opinion, is I didn't put any restraints on any of the writers to like stick with this genre, stick with this type of quote unquote horror story. So it opened it up to where, you know, your story is it's got the horror aspects to it, but it has a lot more built into it, because it's not the monster aspect of the character isn't the important part of the story. It's the conversation and where the conversation goes to is what builds that story.
Exactly. Yeah. And I wanted to make sure that even though there is definitely a sense of danger, it's kind of for both of the characters. Both of the characters at the same time, and it's kind of like both of them almost kind of, it's the same way, it's almost like a chess match. The fact that both of them are kind of like seeing each other as respectable opponents. And I had a lot of fun like thinking about how would Nathaniel phrase this question, because quite a lot of the time when you have stories about the supernatural and stuff like that, somebody always ends up getting screwed over because of the fact they phrase a question or phrase a command or a demand in completely a stupid way.
Right.
And the
supernatural
force kind of goes, aha, I'm going to become a lawyer, and go, gotcha. And so I was thinking, no, Nathaniel knows how this works, and so he's going to be very careful about this. He's not going to ask for like wealth or money or power or anything like that. He just wants a conversation kind of thing.
Right. And I think that, you know, we had I ended up bringing on Daniel Biano. I cannot pronounce his last name. It's B-A-I-N-O. And I don't know how it's pronounced.
Yeah. Daniel's fantastic when it comes to the art. He really captured the kind of, I really loved the way he worked with the shadows, honestly, shadows of the thing. Because
I was blown away.
Yeah, for me, I had never thought about how the shadows would play into. When I was writing the script, I was thinking, it'd be able to, for everybody to clearly see what's going on and all that kind of stuff. But the way Daniel kind of added that like shadow and low mood lighting of the fire and stuff like that, that really added to the sort of the sense of, I'm not going to say the sense of, it's like a sense of closeness and coziness, but also the sense of danger, if anything.
Right. And then when I brought him on, Casey and I were talking to him, we're like, all right, so the story we're going to give you, because I paired up all the stories to artists that I thought could best capture the mood of that story. And I chose him because a lot of his samples he sent me were very dynamic, but he also had, part of why I chose him was he also had samples of he has done adult comics before. Right. And I thought, with your lighting and your aspect of how you angle things, and the fact that you've done sensual, like not just like straight up, you know, dirty adult comics, but sensual adult comics. I'm like, with this story, that'll lead really well into it. And he ended up, you know, impressing the hell out of me with the way he positioned things, the way he drew the characters, all of it. That combined with the script, I think comes out to be, I just can't wait. I can't wait to see how people react to it when they get the final product.
What I love about what Daniel did was the fact that it was naughty but tasteful.
Exactly.
The way I like to think of it. Yeah, it's like it's sensual and stuff like that, but it's done tastefully.
You and I had a conversation originally about the story because you would ask me, because I'd said, I don't want to have any, I don't care about blood and guts, but I just don't want to have any gratuitous sex in the book because it's just not what I'm about. And you would come to me, hey, what about this? And I was like, well, that's tasteful and done right. And then he managed to capture that tastefulness of the script into the art. And it's perfect, exactly, I think.
Yeah. And I thought that, and the way that it all rounds off is the fact that it feels kind of like that's the natural progression kind of thing with the characters. And the way that Daniel did that is the fact that he made it, he very much laid it out, and it's like you get the sense from both Nathaniel and Agnes is the fact that it is kind of like coming together a little bit more.
Yeah, it does. Now I have a future question for you. Are you interested, or do you want to continue this story of these characters?
Not with Nathaniel. I think his story is done.
Right.
I do want to continue stuff with Agnes, though, because I think Agnes is quite an interesting character, and I'd like to see her interacting with other members of the Enes line. I sent you a copy of when Agnes first meets somebody of the Enes line, which is all the way back in with the sacking of Lindisfarne. So I'm tying a lot of history elements to it.
Which I love. I love the tying of history into it.
Yeah. And so I think having her sort of meeting people and so like doing stuff in different events of history. So maybe having her maybe in a Victorian setting, maybe sort of during the Crimean War, or maybe alternatively having her in the swinging 60s might be quite fun.
Oh, that'd be a fun story with her.
Yeah.
She's such a cool character. Like, I would love to see her come back and be in more stories. Because when Casey and I were figuring out which stories to put in book one, book two, and book three, and book four, we have four books planned right now. We decided that we want more Agnes because she's a great character, and I feel like she could be developed to have a great arc throughout all the books.
Mm. Yeah. But at the end of the day, with Agnes, is the fact that although she's fun to write is the main thing. Is the fact that she's fun to write. But because of the fact she's kind of like friendly and like engaging and is always kind of wants the best for people, but there is always that edge to her. There is that edge of what she actually is, kind of thing.
Exactly. Which makes it to where you can tell some really interesting stories with her because she does have that edge and it's not necessarily always on a good side.
No, exactly.
Well, know what, man? I appreciate your time talking to me today about this book. I am really excited to hear what people have to say about your story and the book in general. I was really excited that you came aboard it and did one and excited that you wanted to do more. So
absolutely, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's something which I love doing, and I just love doing writing and just doing different and experimenting with different things outside my usual wheelhouse. So this has been an absolutely fantastic time for me.
I'm really
glad you had me on board.
I'm glad you replied. I mean, as I told on one of the interviews I did for this book a long time ago, I had a lot of writers when I put that post out. I wasn't quite aware of how much response I would get. Like, I weeded through about 250 different scripts and writers that people who applied to write in this book, and that was a very very difficult time. It was a lot to read.
I can imagine.
I'm happy with who I picked. The scripts that I got back, I think are all fantastic. And yours is one of my, honestly, yours is one of my favorites.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah. So, everybody listening, you're going to want to go pick up the Ainz book, not just because it's my book, because it has great stories from, people like Joe in there, and the cross path story is seriously one of the better stories in the book, in my opinion.
Fantastic. So there will be more stuff from me and Agnes and everybody in the future, I'd say.
I hope there will be. All right, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Cheerio. Bye.
So start this off by saying, who are you and where are you from?
Well, I am Sebastián Varela Baino, from Argentina, from a province called Tucumán. In Argentina, it's in the north. It's a mountain province with a jungle and beautiful views.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. Yeah. Sounds awesome. Yeah. So
it's similar to yours, no? Your place.
Yeah, I'm in Seattle. We have lots of forests here. Yeah, yeah. It just rains a lot and it's cold all the time. all the time. But
no,
it's
no.
Like,
in Japan, it's all time great sun in the sky. The temperature goes to 40 Celsius degrees. It's a little hot.
Yeah, no, it's quite opposite here. We have lots of rain and it's generally pretty cold. It's generally Fahrenheit, like 60 degrees Fahrenheit, which I, off the top of my head, I can't calculate that backwards to Celsius.
Yeah. So you have Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, Celsius makes more sense, but it's Fahrenheit's what I know, so it's what I go by.
Same to me.
Yeah. So, can you give us a little background on you and your art and your work in comics?
Oh yes, I have started to making comics since when I was 18, I think, in that province, Tucumán, with a master called Ariel Lucena. He teach me the main things like inked comics, mm-hmm. or how to compose it.
Right.
From that, I have learned all with buying comics, you know, right. Buying Frank Miller, buying Mike Mignola.
I see Mike Mignola. He's amazing. That guy's work.
He's amazing. Yes, yeah. I love the synthesis that he have in all the works he do. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
His use of black has always impressed me of how we can use black to show depth. It's amazing, you know.
Yes, Mike, like Jimmy Steranko.
Oh, I love Steranko. He is literally one of my favorite artists of all time. I have in my comic book collection. I have his Nick Fury run from the 60s. One of my favorite runs ever.
Really?
Yeah, I love that stuff. I actually got to meet him at a show last year, and he was super nice. Super nice guy.
Yeah, it seems so, no?
Yeah, he's a
it's
really,
a
he's
like
really
a
nice.
Playboy.
Yeah, like pretty playboy. Much. He has that look. I mean, he looks like a playboy.
Look for you. You know him.
Yeah, that's cool, man. So, you're as you've heard from the interview that you've heard of me do so far about this book. So far, everybody loves the work you've done on this book that you've done on the story you did. Can you tell me what your first impression of the script that you drew was for this and what your thoughts were when you were creating it?
Yeah, well, the script was very challenging to me because it tries to show the human feelings. I think it's most important in the script. They are both characters that all the time shows desire, hate, the joy. In the middle of nothing, in the middle of a forest, in a bar or something, and it's a lot of suspense in that because everything can happen in any time, and it was very funny to me make that. It was a lot of fun.
It was great because the for me the script that Joseph S. Pell turned in. It's basically a conversation. It's basically 8 pages of a conversation between 2 people, but the execution of
mean
the execution you did of telling that story and making it interesting and making it compelling. And, you know, you did this such a great job of doing, you know, using negative space. It just everything on every page just pops out. I showed my sister, who's a huge horror fan. She's not so much of a comic book fan, but she's a huge horror fan. And she just looked through the page and she was like, this is creepy and awesome. And everything about this just pops off the page. And it's literally, not going to lie, literally one of my favorite drawn stories in the first book.
thanks for that. I have a theory of that.
Yeah.
I think if you can understand a page in front about 10 meters, of that page,
right.
If you cannot watch the block, the how you say the, each drawing of that page,
right?
It's
right.
good try. It's good try.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is. It's great because, like, not only in the pages you put together for the story, you had such a your story you got was such an important story for the book. And I remember telling you that when we first, I was like, hey, this is a very important story. So I was like, I need this to be really, really, really good. And the pages you turned in were better than I could ever expect it, to be honest. But not only is it each page visually stunning, but each panel as you go through it helps tell the story in the background of what's going on. And I couldn't have asked for this story to come out better than it did when I got the pages from you. So I was super impressed by that.
Okay, thanks for that.
No problem.
I tried to do my best.
Oh, you did fantastic, man. You, Casey, the editor, and I were both of us were blown away by it. Every time you sent us a page or a panel, we're like, this is amazing. This is great. All right, last question for you. This is kind of a fun one. Do you have a scary story you can tell us?
Well, yes. In my town in Tucumán, again, it calls a story of a demoniac dog. Call it the perro familiar. That's what they call it. And it's about a demonio. It's a demonic entity that he is feeding by souls of workers in the sugar mills that the province exists. So the dog is used for eat people that are striking up against the sugar mills companies or things like that.
Okay. That's cool.
In return, the dog delivers money and power to the owners.
So it's like a local legend in the area you live in. That's cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. They use the dog for make the workers disappear.
That's cool. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. I appreciate your work on the book. I definitely have plans to use you and your artwork again for a future book of the Ainz Anthology because you knocked it out of the park with the art on this one. So, again, thank you so much for talking to me today, and thank you so much for working on this book with me.
Okay, thanks, John. Thanks to you and your